the amount of times we've heard customers complaining that they didn't get their message. I literally have one guy dedicated at one point looking through email logs just to prove that, well, we did send the email. It's something now that can be avoided.
Hi, and welcome to Answer the Call, a business podcast powered by Voice Nation. My name is Peyton Duplishin, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, we're sitting down with Adam Allred, head of technology at Voice Nation and product owner of the Voice Nation mobile app. With his extensive experience in technology, marketing, and the development space, Adam brings ingenuity, years of knowledge, and innovation to Voice Nation. Today, Adam's distributing his experiences in the field and app creation to business owners who are asking themselves the question, does my business need an app, and how do I get started? Adam, thank you for joining us today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Please take a moment to introduce yourself, your role, your history with Voice Nation, and technology in general.
Oh, man. Man, my history, let's see, it's pretty lengthy. Kind of had an interesting, I don't know if I would say too interesting, but I went to school over in Marietta, Georgia, went to engineering school there. From there, I actually never finished. I got a gig through a buddy doing web support, right? Had an opening there, so I got into there, and that company did medical billing, right? So it was brand new at the time, because at that time, for someone to submit medical claims, and believe me, I'm going to tie this into HIPAA here, yeah, and how that helps us out here with Voice Nation. Medical claims were all submitted through paper, meaning if you were a patient and you needed to have your medical claim insured, it took lots of time. So that company basically took that and made it electronic through the internet, right? Again, remember, this is 2001, so internet.
That's like leading technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bleeding technology for sure. So I came in and was doing web support. So I interfaced a lot with the medical billers. Through that, I was only in that position for about 3 months. They seen a knack. Well, this guy might be a little bit overqualified for handling password resets and whatnot for
fun stuff,
you know, for customers. So I got moved into system administration, right? This company had about 325 servers. At that time, again, remember, virtual technology didn't really exist, right? So these were all physical servers that had to be maintained. So I was administrating those servers with a crew of probably about 3 or 4 guys. And from there, this never seemed to be a knack for management, right? And remember, I'm 22 at this time, right? So through that, I consumed then what we had is a file monitoring team, which monitored the files that sit on these servers, right? And that crew was about 25 people. And then I consumed the web support department, which I used to be a part of. I was then managing that. And then I took over the systems monitoring folks, which was a crew of about 12 people. That went well for a while until I realized, hey, I was too young. It was just too much responsibility at that time, right? But through all those ventures, dealing with medical billing and whatnot, we had to follow the medical and the guidelines through HIPAA, you know, very, very strictly. Because bleeding edge, hey, we're sending now medical information over the internet, which the internet at that time, remember, is very new. So I got a very good young introduction into HIPAA, right? But from that, I found myself just very uncomfortable, right? At that young of an age, managing folks. Has some great stories of some real good mishaps of managing folks. So I clearly wasn't ready for that, right? Personally, and obviously from the business side, probably not the greatest idea. So from there, I moved on into a smaller business, working with speakers, authors, and trainers.
Okay.
Folks like John Maxwell. Let's see, The Real Coach Carter. Anybody remembers that? I worked with a business that helped those folks get their product out.
It's pretty big names.
Right, absolutely. There's a lot. I forgot most of them, Zig Ziglar. So through that, I was exposed to a lot of material, a lot of marketing, a lot of sales material. And most of these folks are just selling what I call air, right? They're not giving you like this tangible service, really. They're just offering coaching, meaning it's nothing you're really going to leave with other than your ability to pay attention to what these folks are telling you to do.
Yeah.
And we're not talking like small dollars here. We would be at these conventions where these folks would run to the back of the room. I mean, literally sprint to the back of the room, the end of their speech, where they were selling $50,000, $100,000, $125,000 packages for like an hour of someone's time a week or a month.
That's crazy.
So these people were professionals at what they did. Incredible salespeople. Not to call them sleazy or anything. They were good at what they did, and what they were offering was very valuable. I mean, I gained so much But through that venture, we got into a real estate business where this would have been in 2008. If I remember, after 2008, the market crashed, right? Yeah. So we got into subprime market, offering people to help restore their credit.
Okay.
Find homes to buy via an option called a lease purchase, right? So we put together a great system to help folks move through that. And of course, the market was perfect for that. Mm-hmm. And it did really well, so well that we offered up and we did an IPO, took a business public. That was a big learning experience.
I bet that was.
And again, yet again, at a very young age, getting into something that I probably really wasn't ready for. And I'll keep this real short. Probably not the best move we made. Through that, I found that the world is filled with a lot of not so genuine people. Parse my words here, but not the greatest of a society, you know.
Sometimes that's reality.
Circles around you when you're trying to raise money and bring a product to the masses that can honestly help. But again, greed takes over and bad things happen. So I got out of that venture and I took a break for a little bit. I was tired, just really tired. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, let's get back into idle hands, right? So in 2014, I found an ad placed by Voice Nation. And what piqued my interest in that was the technology they were using at Voice Nation called Asterisk, which is an open source telephone soft switch, right? And when you think of soft switch, it comes from the term from a hard switch where you have the old school operator taking switches and, you know, hey, operator, how may I help you?
Oh, yeah, right? The Bell South type around. Stuff.
That's what you call a hard switch, right? Asterisk is an open source software version of that, okay? Open source meaning free. At that time, the owner, Jay Reeder, had basically put together a live answering solution that we now know as Voice Nation. And he was having some struggles with the technology there. So I saw Asterisk in that ad. I applied. I interviewed well, apparently, because at the time they were struggling and the current IT director at the time, you know, just wasn't a good fit. So I came in and boy, there definitely was some issues going on. And I came in and quickly got those things sorted. The company started to do really, really well. I only had a staff of, one person when I joined.
Wow.
One guy who had transitioned from our call center, which we like to do here. We look for talent, you know, and help here. We like to hire within first. And the individual who's there was a bright young guy, just very green. He'd only been there for about 3 or 4 months in that position. So I had my hands full, but we got that solved. Fast forwarding, we get to where we are now. We first had a mobile app. And then that app was generated. It was only for iOS. And that was made, I believe, before I even came here. And that's 2014.
Oh, wow. Right? So young app.
But let's be honest, that app served very little purpose for our end user. I mean, it only offered up the ability to see reports. And to be honest with you, who likes looking at reports?
That's
right?
Fair.
Nobody really wants to just look at a report because you need to have a purpose, right? When you want to look at a report. You're either looking for an exact problem, right? Mm-hmm. Where did all these minutes come from? There's no real purpose behind it. You'll just quickly look at something and make some sort of conclusion. The way you want to build reports is to tell folks, okay, here's the data that you're looking at. We've digested it for you. Here's what we suggest that you should do with that data, right? Mm-hmm. But that app didn't do that. So, and again, it only existed for Apple, you know, the iOS version. Around 2018, we decided to refresh the app. Now, by refresh, we didn't necessarily put much more innovation into the app, but more so, we added a couple more features. We added the ability to view messages. We expanded to the Android, to the Google Play Store. So you broaden your base, right? I believe adoption right now is 60-40. You can fact check me on that. But I believe Android's about 60 and is 40% Apple. So this seemed like a no-brainer, right? We need to at least give our customers in this time, you know, apps are common. I mean, we're talking 2018. We're kind of behind the times there with that one. But we did. And the big thing here, the big point about that was a very smart move. Maintaining an app can get very expensive from the development side because there's a term called native technology. By native, it means original source. And in the software development world, particularly in the app world, to say something is native means that the code that you create is native to the operating system, meaning it has the full capability of what the operating system's API offers you to be able to develop upon. full access to the microphone, full access to the alerts and all the bells and whistles that your phone can offer, or at least that the operating system is allowed into that phone. Google had just come out with a technology called Flutter. What Flutter allows you to do is to build an app that's still native, but it works across both platforms, both iOS and Android.
That's nice.
And that's really nice on the development side. Getting back to the expensive part, the troublesome part for a company is if you're building apps natively without using something like Flutter, you have to have two developers. Because it is quite rare to find a mobile app developer who is both fluent in iOS development and Android development. They're usually either good at one and okay at the other, you know? And that's just, who wants to build an okay app and this one over here is better, right? Yeah. You're just going to have a constant support issue with either one side or the other, right? So this doesn't make any sense. But of course, a larger company can absorb those kind of costs. But most small businesses, that just doesn't make sense.
It's two salaries, two contractors.
Right on. With Flutter, we have obviously in-house developers here, but what we decided to do, because we already have our own development cycles we maintain here to maintain, you know, our software that we use to run our call center here. And of course, we created our own software for our call center. We use a software called Open Answer, and we have our own open source soft switch called Asterisk that we develop in-house. So us even bringing on mobile app development was going to create even a problem for us. What we decided to do was to reach out to a company, an outsourced company, Top Talent. You can find them online, toptalent.com. I highly recommend these folks really vet their developers. And we secured a developer, actually several developers, to help us quickly update our app, refresh this app to get it out there quickly. Now, mind you, we weren't looking to add a whole bunch of technology into this app this time. We just want to refresh it and broaden our base, right? So we were able to take that, develop on Flutter, and release a refreshed version of our app back in 2018. That brings us to now. Now, what have we done? What we've done now is we've decided that we know that this is important for our customers. Basically, the service that we're providing, right? At the very core of every customer, they're entrusting us to answer calls on behalf of their business. We want this to be a seamless interaction for their customers. Their customers should not even know that when they call in and our agents answer that phone, their customers should not even know it's us. They should have the feeling that this is going right to their brick and mortar or whatever their situation may be. And it's very important, right? So at the very core of that, we offer a message. What happened with that call? What did that inbound call need? What was the request out of that? In our business, we call that a message, right? Or in some cases, a transfer, whatever. But in most cases, it's a message. So we decided to offer the ability to add messages to our app, but also notifications. Let's see, what else did we add? We added message filtering.
I know we can call in and out of the app now, and now there's the option to even text out of the app. You can actually correspond with clients from your personal cell phone, which is something that you may not want to normally do, but from the Voice Nation number that's provided to you at sign up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, because when you sign up with Voice Nation, you do get your own phone number. I know some businesses choose not to. They already have an established phone number, and they may mask that number just by forwarding to their Voice Nation number. But other businesses, they get that new phone number. And with the app now, you can use that number to call outbound, right? There's several more updates we've added in there. And I know we've got some really game-changing ones coming up that are just going to be absolutely phenomenal that I think our customers aren't going to be able to live without. One of the biggest things, though, let me go back to the notification and the message delivery. And this may get a bit nerdy, but I think most people can understand what a spam filter is, right? Mm-hmm. We've all got our Gmail accounts, Hotmail, whatever email service you may be using to deliver your email. And email, believe it or not, is still the primary message receiving ability across the internet. People still lean on email, right?
We rely on it.
Right. Even companies like our own. We've somewhat, through the pandemic, have adopted, we're using Teams here internally and taking a little bit of a chunk out of email, right? Mm-hmm. The reliance on email, but it still hasn't taken over. The problem with email is spam filters, right? Spam filters exist, you know, for a good purpose.
Yeah.
to declutter your inbox so you don't get all the annoying type of emails, you know, that you get. Same type of stuff you used to get in your mailbox, right? All this junk mail. But sometimes those things can get in the way. And depending on who your email service provider is, those things are different. Provider to provider, how strict they are. Some offer throttling capabilities. But with our new app, with through the notification and message delivering with filtering and whatnot, you don't have to worry. Our servers connect to your app and deliver that message directly to you. There's no middleman. The only middleman, if you really want to split hairs, would just be the internet. So as long as your app has a data connection, you don't have to worry about missing a message from us. It's going to get delivered.
Someone calls, we answer.
Right.
You get the message, especially if it's something important like dispatching or even order processing or something along those lines. And you know what's going on. Do I need to go home? Do I need to prepare this package? Do I need to get someone out to help this person who's maybe needs HVAC help or something, especially in a nice Georgia summer or something along those lines? Important. You know, they're not waiting. They don't have to try and get home, log on to their desktop. It comes straight to their mobile phones, which, like it or not, we all rely on.
Right. Yeah. And believe me, just from working and being in the IT department, the amount of times we've heard customers complaining that they didn't get their message. And I literally have one guy dedicated at one point looking through email logs just to prove that, well, we did send the email. And it was just almost like a broken record. And I could hear the customer support reps, who are great, saying, have you whitelisted our IP and going through all the same old steps over and over again? It's something now that can be avoided. And also, I can't believe I forgot, our app now offers the ability for SMS. So with that same Voice Nation phone number that you get from us, that number is now SMS enabled. SMS, that's the tech term, texting.
Yeah.
You can now text or MMS, meaning you can send pictures and whatnot with the Voice Nation app. And that's huge now for our customers, helpful. You know, with the millennials and whatever the new generation's called now.
Gen Zs.
Let's be honest, a lot of those folks, they rely a lot on non-confrontational contact. Mm-hmm. So a lot of texting, a lot of not picking up the phone and calling, right?
Yes.
So for those services of ours that I think of any of our restaurants that we may offer live answering services for, reservation confirmations, basically anything. Just think about anything that your business could use for a texting to reach those folks. Mm-hmm. You can now do that through our app.
I know that we've started to ramp up some of our live chat services as well too. Is that something that might be coming into the future, those types of messages from that, or is that already available?
It absolutely will be. To pull back the curtain a little bit, sneak peek of 2022 here. Yes, live chat is going to be one of our flagship products here at Voice Nation. And absolutely, the app will make that a seamless tool for any of our customers to receive those messages or the outcome of that inbound request to our agents. That app's going to get that message to you.
Which is great, because when people are online and they don't want to pick up the phone or late at night, someone's browsing, you don't miss that lead. And that's incredible, especially for our e-commerce customers who have been asking for something like that for a while and they love it so far.
One of the most important things here, we're always interested in our customers' opinion on what's going to make their life easier. We're not here to be an impediment at all to help your business run smoother, more efficient. Take the burden of having to go and break away from what you're doing to go answer that call, whether that be a lead or a support request, whatever that request is, we want to make your job, the client, the customer, easier. And we try to think as many things as we can through our conversations with our customers, but we're so eager to hear about what do you think would help. You just mentioned the live chat piece, and my brain just starts immediately going, ooh, what can we do there? Well, think of the live chat. We will possibly be introducing a live chat feature in between our agents and the customer. So the customer's customer, and this always gets a little bit confusing when you're trying to explain this, right? Because the customer has customer and the customer is our customer and so on and so on. But our customer could live chat with our agents who are simultaneously live chatting with their customer, right? Think of some of the more complicated scripts that we may have. That could come in really, really handy. But also another feature we've added here is the ability for our customers to know who the agent is who's answering their calls. Mm-hmm. Now we're not exposing social security numbers and home addresses and stuff like that. We're talking about who is this person? What does this person like to do? Mm-hmm. What is their native language? Mm-hmm. Right? All of these things that our customers value, that enhancement is going to be coming out here in just a couple short months.
That's exciting.
Yeah, right? And that's important for our customers to see. And it's also important for our agents to know that our customers know some about them. It's very easy in this business to think of the call center, you know, is that fluorescent lights are on, mm-hmm. very hospital-like, very machine-driven.
Or even offshore, like away, and we're 100%
right.
U.S.-based
yeah.
in Georgia.
Exactly.
All you of know? Us here.
And sometimes I wonder, are we doing a good enough job telling that story of mm-hmm. we are 100% U.S.-based. There is no offshoring, none of that happens with our business. So these are Americans in here answering the phone for other Americans, and they'll soon be able to see who is this person. Mm. It brings more of a human factor to this yeah. thing, you know. And to me, I think that's very, very important.
I think so. And I think that actually is a nice segue into something that I actually wanted to talk a little bit more about too, of when it comes to small businesses and they're thinking about these apps, they're thinking about serving their customers and providing that extra touch that's going to set them apart for their clients, whatever industries they're in. What are some of the potential purposes they might be able to think of when it comes to a mobile app? What are some good questions they might be able to pose and ask themselves when they're thinking about, I'd love to reach them on that digital level, but how do I get there?
That's a great question. And most of that's easily answered. I can guarantee you that of everyone who watches or listens to this or reads this, if they took their left hand and the right hand, put your hand in your back pocket, front pocket, what's in there? Smartphone. Now, think from a business perspective, how important and how valuable that is. Mm-hmm. That is a direct conduit via the great world of phones here and data, you know, your 5G and 4G. You've got data connection directly to someone's pocket to deliver whatever it is that you want to deliver to that person. They're going to see it. Think back to what I said about email. Yeah, spam filters came about because it cluttered your inbox. Mm. Heck, if it wasn't an appealing subject and you didn't know who it was from, you might not even open it.
Yeah.
You might not even read it.
That's half a marketer's job right now in email marketing.
Right? Is to try and make that, you know, even the tricky things like, ooh, it's a reply to something, uh-huh. right? Yeah, we've all seen it. And some of us still fall for it. That's not the case with an app. That notification feature, you see every one of them. Because yeah. what do you have to do? You at least have to clear them. Right? Yeah. Or else the top bar of your phone there is just going to become a complete disaster. And you have the ability also with our app and with most apps to gauge, you know, the level of notifications that you want. But if any business out there, and I can't think of one that doesn't want to communicate with their customer, yeah, don't stay away from an app. If you don't want to communicate with them, yeah, absolutely stay away from an app. Just
simple
stay
enough.
Away from it. You don't have to worry about it, right? But I don't think that's the case. If you're wanting to communicate with your customer, whether market, upsell, whatever, customer service, whatever the purpose may be, an app is the way to go, right? And going back to the technology that we use, we may introduce this as well. That Flutter capability gives us the ability, obviously, to create apps for a phone, but it doesn't stop there. Everybody notices now with Windows and with your Apple operating system, it stopped calling them really applications. You know, yeah. app is short for that application, but that you can create that same software, that same package, that same app can be deployed on your Windows machine, your Apple, your iOS. So you're not strictly bound to just a phone. So it's limitless there. And to me, if you're not developing an app, you're behind the curve. You really are. You're behind the curve.
So for those who are going to be playing catch up, what are some of the first steps and obstacles they may encounter when starting out on this journey? I know we mentioned some of them.
Yeah, we mentioned some of them, right? It's obviously the expense, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has to meet a, you know, P&L sheet. Clearly going like the Flutter route, or mm-hmm. there's other frameworks out there that accomplish the same thing. But they obviously want to do first start off with something that's going to get you into both ecosystems, mm-hmm. being Apple and Google. But then you obviously need to think about, what is it that your company is delivering? What is mm-hmm. the value that your customers are signing up for, right? And it may not apply to some, right? But at a minimum, if someone's a customer of yours, they have a bill to pay, you know, services and whatnot. And we all know that the payroll lady and the bookkeeping lady, she's always busy, right? Mm-hmm. At a minimum, giving them the ability to manage their subscription or services, or view invoices, any kind of way that you can curb inbound requests into your company is a way to go. Now, I probably shouldn't say that thing with us being a live answering. You know, we want those phone calls. But hey, and we obviously, customers look at us and, you know, thinking about, you know, how many phone calls do I make? And can I afford VoiceNation, which you should be able to. And we're the cheapest one out there. I should say the word inexpensive business out there.
Affordable.
There we go. There's a more softer word. But if you can develop yourself an app there to lessen the amount of requests, lessen the amount of overhead coming into your business, that's a good thing. Of course, we'd love to pick up the slack there for you, what's ever left over for after that. Yeah. But that's what you should be looking at is, what is it that you can do? What is it, the service that you're providing? Are customers currently going to a website to get that information, to get that service delivery? And secondly, what are the support and what are you getting burdened with now that an app could possibly help you with? Obviously, I've given a referral out there to top talent there. You know, if you're looking for development help there, I would highly suggest you look their way first.
Would you say that's the first place you would start? Like, let's say it's a business owner who maybe doesn't have, they've outsourced several parts of their business, like most companies do, because it's a great way to get a small business started. When they're reaching out, trying to figure out, where do I even start? I have an idea. I know what I want to do with an app, but I don't know where to go from there. I'm completely blank. I don't know enough about technology to go from here.
Well, the great thing now, I could give you a complete pull out the old IT where we'll just Google it, right?
Yeah.
But honestly, these days, it's really, I know, and it's, I say it's not hard. It's really not that hard. Mm-hmm. It honestly isn't. Both Google and Apple offer great tutorials on how to get your app out there, what should you do, and kind of handhold you through this process. But obviously, should you outsource the building of your app, right? You've got your idea, and I encourage everyone who's getting into development, right? You start developing an app, you're getting into the development world. Yeah. Write your ideas down. Construct them down. Write them just like you know, if you're going to build a house, you wouldn't just go up to the builder and say, hey, build me a house. What kind of house do you want? What does the builder then do? He makes a blueprint. You don't have to build some sort of elaborate software design scheme. You leave that to your developer to do. But you need to put down what you want your app to look like. Write down these ideas, put it like in an outline form. These are the functions. This is the capabilities I want the app to have. And you put them down. Believe me, if you take that, you've made the effort to write it down, you outsource that development project, it's going to make that process so much easier. Believe me, they'll greatly appreciate it because most of these outsource firms are used to someone just getting on the phone and trying to talk
just
through it.
Just build me a house.
Yeah. They'll talk it through them. They'll try and try to build that for them. But from experience, going that route without your ideas collected and put together in a written form and submitted, you might not end up with what you ultimately wanted.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, you're going to end up with your app quicker. You're going to end up with what you wanted. At that point, once you outsource, most likely you won't even have to worry about the whole submitting it on the store. And there's firms out there to help you market your app because there's techniques behind what's the summary of your app should be, what screenshots should you provide in there. But I honestly wouldn't trouble yourself with that. For most of our customers, the app is going to be a supplemental piece to their business and they're not looking in more so in a subscription-based model. So the whole marketing piece, I would recommend not struggling with that. Work on making a functional, good app.
Okay.
Because customers will appreciate that. They'll see that. And obviously, if it brings value, your customers are going to like it.
I'm hearing a whole lot of some business terms that small business owners particularly enjoy, which is saving them time and money. Lots of that.
Absolutely. I've learned a lot of this the hard way. Everybody's looking to save time and money, but there's some places where your time's going to be well spent. And that's putting those ideas down on paper and reading them back. Then write what happens when you write something down and you go back, because it's not something you're going to get done in an hour. It's something you're going to probably, it's going to take a few days to get through. And every time you come back to it, what are you going to do? You're going to read through that. And you're going to be like, I don't know. Maybe I don't like that.
It's the drafting process.
That's right.
Yeah.
Seems like a lost art sometimes.
It does.
So yeah, that drafting process is something I definitely highly, highly recommend.
I think this has been some really good information for everybody. And I know that the concept of outsourcing, building apps, or even just the concept of trying to expand beyond what you know, can be really scary for business owners, Absolutely. Especially entrepreneurs who are working on a solopreneur basis, those who are starting out with a team of three or four, like your one you came on here with your IT department.
I probably shouldn't say that. Customers, yeah.
It's grown a bit since then, I would say. Yeah,
considerably.
But it takes time. And I think it's good to know that that kind of stuff is okay. It's okay to outsource. It's because there are other businesses to help build your business up.
That's it. And things in the development world do quickly get out of control from an expense standpoint. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Adam.
Absolutely.
Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
We'll talk to everybody next time.